I love the Sabbath. I think the reason that I do is because I've learned to love the Lord of the Sabbath. And this day of such sweet fellowship with Him and with God's people in worship, in prayer, in study, is something that's unique in the world today. And how fortunate we are to know this blessing. My heart goes out to those who do not know it. And what a beautiful way to close the Sabbath. In a setting such as this, music like this, and lifting our hearts to God in praise and thanksgiving. But as we said a week ago, it's not what happens in the church on Sabbath that really counts. It is what happens between Sabbaths that demonstrates whether or not the Christian faith, the Adventist faith, is truly potent and meaningful. One minister that I know charges his congregation every single service at its close, every worship service. Now he says, "You've heard the word. I charge you before God. Go out and live the word." Amen. In the home, in the community, on the job, wherever. Live the word. You know, Nietzsche, the great German philosopher, made the observation that Christians would have to look more redeemed before I will believe in their Redeemer. And I think that's a pretty well test, isn't it? A pretty good test. A pretty well stated proposition. How can we expect others to believe Him in whom we believe unless there is positive evidence that we who believe in a Redeemer are ourselves redeemed? And if we are redeemed, don't you think we ought to look it? Don't you? I had an interesting time years ago over in Pennsylvania. We were assembled for a minister's meeting. And this one was held in one of the downtown hotels in Pittsburgh. Now, I didn't know many of those workers. I was there early, I sat in the lobby, and I watched people come in. And I tried to pick out Seventh-day Adventist ministers and their wives as people came into that hotel. And I hit it right every time but once. Every single time I'd see them come in, that's an Adventist minister, that's his wife. And this one time, I saw this gentleman come in with black shoes, a black suit, a black tie, and a black hat on his head. And I said, "Here comes another one." And he walked up to the desk and threw open his coat and reached into his pocket. And I thought maybe he was reaching for his pen. But he brought out a great big long cigar. And I said, "No, that's not one of us." There was a time, what I'm trying to say to you this evening is that there was a time when it was pretty easy to pick out a Seventh-day Adventist from others. There was something about them that was unique and different. Will you understand me if I say to you this afternoon that it's not all that easy today? And may I take you one step farther. I think perhaps it's a little easier today than it was 5 years ago, or 4 years ago, or 3 years ago, or whenever it was when dress styles changed. We need to look more redeemed before we can expect people to believe in our Redeemer. I wonder if we are conscious every moment of every day that people are judging the Lord by what they see in our lives. Their estimate of Him is largely determined by their estimate of us. Christ, our example. Copy the pattern. Now the servant of the Lord tells us we cannot equal the pattern. But we will not be held excusable if we fail to copy it and to the best of our ability resemble it. Now this covers every area of life. And we could take the time this evening in talking about the areas of example. But I want to limit it to just one thing. One experience, one relationship. You remember that Jesus said, just before He left this world, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That's Mark, the last chapter, the 15th verse. I want you to follow through now, if you have your Bibles with me, as we read the rest of it. Mark chapter 16, beginning with verse 15. "And He said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In My name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drank any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, He was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth, and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following." Amen. Beautiful way to end the chapter, isn't it? A beautiful way to end the book. They followed the example. They watched Him at work. They listened to Him preach. They saw the signs that followed His preaching, His ministry. And Christ told them that all that the disciples were to do, that He had done, they were to do. And we are told that all that the disciples did, we are to do today. They that believe and are baptized shall be saved. And they that believe not shall be damned. I want to talk to you about the example that Christ set for us in baptism. Now, He didn't need to be baptized for Himself. There was nothing in Him that needed to be repented of. Though He laid aside His divinity and took our humanity, there was not one single speck of sin in Him. But He entered into this experience. He appeared before John on that never-to-be-forgotten day when John was preaching out there by the Jordan River. A great crowd had assembled. They had listened with great interest and earnestness to this prophet who was preaching a strange message. "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And the Spirit of God moved upon their hearts. And many of them were baptized. And they lingered on to hear more and more of the message. And suddenly John stopped in his preaching. And he said, "There is one among us whose shoes I'm not even worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I can do it only in water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." And then Jesus presented himself to John and said, "John, I've come to be baptized by you." And John said, "I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me?" And Jesus answering said unto him, "Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." You see, Christ was setting an example that every member of the human family needs to experience if they are to share in the glories of the kingdom of our dear Savior. I say they need to. Not everyone has. They've honestly followed the truth and the practices that they have been taught. But they needed to be baptized just like Jesus Christ was baptized. And what I want to have you think of this afternoon in these few moments is that there are two aspects of the baptism. And on different occasions, in the New Testament church, in the life of our Lord, in His teachings of the people, He brought together the baptism of water and the baptism of the Spirit. And when Jesus came up out of the water, verse 16, the heavens were opened unto Him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." No sooner was the water baptism accomplished than the baptism of the Spirit followed. And I suggest to you that this is God's order. This is His plan. For everyone who is baptized of water, He also wants to baptize with the Holy Spirit. "I baptize you with water," He said, John said. "But there's one who is able to baptize you with the Holy Ghost." I suppose that the vast majority of us here this afternoon have had the water baptism. I remember well the day when I was baptized. 12 years of age, in Boston, Massachusetts, in our old temple there in the heart of the city, a beautiful old church bought from somebody else, used by us for many years. And I had gone through the instructional class. I had gone through the baptismal class. I had been publicly examined. And then the moment came when I stood with the minister in the baptistry. And as he pronounced the words over me, and I was baptized, the last thing that I saw as I went under the water was a dove above me. And as I opened my eyes as I came up out of the water, someone had turned on a light in the picture of that dove, and it shone upon me. And the minister said, "Of me. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And I've never forgotten that. Not the dove as Christ experienced it, but a work of art put there by some artisan, symbolizing the baptism of the Spirit along with the water baptism. And I've never been able to separate them since. Have you been baptized with the Holy Ghost? This is a vital question. And those who are to be baptized tonight, we'll see them go into the water. We'll see them buried beneath the water, symbolic of the death and burial of our blessed Lord. We'll see them raised to walk in newness of life, symbolic of His resurrection. And if we listen carefully, through the ear of faith, we can hear the voice of God saying over these dear people, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And the baptism of the Holy Spirit is just as meaningful, just as literal, as is the baptism of water. Turn with me to Acts, the second chapter, and just let us look at this one or two moments. Pentecost. The rushing mighty wind. The tongues of fire descending upon the apostles. Peter preaching that tremendous sermon and speaking so that everyone heard in his own language. And then comes this record in the 37th verse of the second chapter. "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Why, he had charged them with the blood of Jesus Christ. He said, "I knew you did this in ignorance. You didn't know who you were putting to death. You didn't realize what you were doing. But it was the Lord of glory that you crucified. We have seen Him. He has been raised from the dead. He's ascended to the heavens. And what you're seeing today is the mighty evidence that He has started upon His official work as our high priest." And when the awful truth dawned upon their souls, "We are guilty of the death of the Lord of glory," they cried out from the depths of stricken hearts, of convicted hearts, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And His answer is very clear. And I want you to notice in the 38th and 39th verses, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent." They needed to do that, didn't they? The sin was pointed out to them. Suddenly, in their own eyes even, they appeared as great sinners. And so His first word to them was, "Repent." And anyone who wants to receive the full benefit of water baptism or of the Spirit baptism must take that word and experience it literally. Repent. And then He says, "Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin." And what is the promise? "And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." baptism, the gift of the Holy Spirit, put together in one great Christian rite. The two to be almost synonymous in God's plan. And it happens every time where the repentance is genuine, where the belief is full. And we can claim that testimony God gave of His Son if in truth we enter into His Son's experience, if we follow His example. For the promise, He says, is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, both in distance and in time, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. The promise is unto you. Have you claimed that promise? Suppose somebody would say to you, have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit? Now you know who it is that asks questions like that, don't you? And you know what they expect to ask you right after that. Have you received the gift of tongues? And if you say, well, no, I haven't. Well, you don't have the genuine thing. You're a second-class citizen of God, of the kingdom. But nowhere in the Bible does it say that the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the gift of tongues. Now, there was a place where the gift of tongues was bestowed upon them. And you find that in the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, where Paul, you remember, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? A good question. A question that we could ask of each other. And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost or no. Apollos evidently had instructed these disciples. He had shared with them all the truth that he had. He doubtless told them every single thing that he knew. But all he knew was John's baptism. He wasn't aware of the one who was coming after, who would baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And then Paul began to speak unto them and preached unto them, and they believed on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And Paul laid his hands upon them, and when he prayed, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. The Holy Ghost, again associated with baptism. Christ set the example. Christ said to Nicodemus, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. We know much about the baptism of water, the immersion, following Christ's example, going down into the water, being buried under the water, being raised to walk in newness of life. This is the only true water baptism taught in the Scripture. We know that. But have we received the baptism of the Spirit? My prayer tonight for those who are going forward in this baptismal service, for others who will be partaking of it in the days to come, is that along with the water baptism, you shall in truth and in fact receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And my friends, without the second, the first is virtually meaningless. Without the baptism of the Spirit, the baptism of water accomplishes very little. Christ was led by the Spirit. He said in the introduction of His ministry, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor," and all of these other things, the things quoted from the book of Isaiah. There was no doubt in his mind about it. He was as sure of the baptism of the Holy Spirit as he was sure of the baptism of water. And both were necessary in order for him to fulfill all righteousness and to give us an example that we should follow in his steps. Christ, our example. In many ways, in everything, but uniquely in the baptism of water and of the Spirit. As we witness this service this afternoon, let us renew our vows, our baptismal vows. Let us reach out by faith and claim the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if there are those here tonight who should be baptized, we want to invite you to contact your pastors and ask them to prepare you for it so that you will follow through on the beautiful example that our Lord has given. And have your sins washed away, the old life buried. Come forth to walk in newness of life, filled with the Spirit of God, baptized with the Spirit, and daily being led by His divine hand until that wonderful day when the heavens shall open and we shall see our precious Savior coming in all of His glory. May God grant that this shall be the experience of us here tonight, either in a renewal of our vows and a renewal of our baptism, or in entering into it totally, fully, without any reservations, this evening or as soon as possible thereafter. May God bless us, each and every one. And may we all have the joy of sharing together in the great glory of His kingdom soon, is my prayer for His name's sake. Amen.
This has been another classic sermon from the Archive of American Christian Ministries. International copyright 2008, all rights reserved. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.